What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Good morning, everybody. It's a beautiful day here on Tuesday. What is it, January 5th? Who cares? It's a new year. It's a new day. I'm over it. I'm ready to move on. We're looking forward now. No more looking back to week 17. We'll talk about our top 12s for 2021 and all the coaching changes and what it could mean for fantasy. Adam Azer, Dave Richard, and Jamie Eisenberg. Guys, I think I'm in a good mood because last night I decided, I'm sure you're all making the same decision now that the regular season's over, which TV show am I going to binge watch? And I made a decision last night. I'm very happy about it. What are you guys on now with all this free time?
I'm going to catch up. I haven't seen season two of The Mandalorian, so I'm going to watch that hopefully soon.
You'll love it.
And what else was I going to watch? I forget what else I was going to catch up on.
I'm going to zoom in my camera here for those of you on YouTube. Okay, Mandalorian.
Maybe I'll start Schitt's Creek.
Oh, yeah. I'm almost done. We're on our last season there. We got to finish that one. You'll enjoy that. Dave, how about you, buddy?
Well, you know I don't really watch a lot of stuff, but I did make time for The Mandalorian during the football season, and it was awesome.
Oh, okay. Everybody seems to like it. Maybe someday I will watch Star Wars. I started Cobra Kai last night.
Oh, yeah, that's the one. That's
there
it.
You go. You're going to start it, or you already have?
No, I haven't started. I want to start.
Yeah, it's so far so good. Everybody
loves everybody
it.
Loves it.
Yeah. All right, so we're in. Cobra Kai, we'll chop about
have
it
you
on
just,
the show.
Have you just started?
Yeah, two episodes.
All right, I'll catch up to you. I'll do that before Mandalorian.
Okay, cool. All right, well, I'll try to be done with the first season by the end of the week. Can we pull it off?
That's easy, yeah.
Okay.
I did Breaking Bad in like 2 weeks.
Thursday show, done with the first season? 10 episodes, 5 hours.
I'll try.
Okay, all right. All right, so let's get to it, guys. News and notes here. Start with Josh Jacobs, arrested for a DUI. We'll talk about him in a second, what he did in 2020. But are we concerned that Jacobs and or Melvin Gordon could be suspended to start the season? And by the way, Will Fuller is going to miss week one of the 2021 season as he completes his suspension. But both Jacobs and Gordon dealing with a DUI situation, Jamie, should we think about a possible suspension?
I mean, in Gordon's case, yes, just based on the fact that it seems like it's been heading that direction with his court case being pushed back. I guess you have to say the same thing about Jacobs, that there's a potential for it. But I would imagine, just given the fact that, as far as I know, they're only first-time offenders, you're probably talking about a two-game suspension, if in fact that's what they deal with. So I'm totally no factual information there. So I don't know what it could be. But just speculating, you know, probably two games if they are suspended at all. So just, you have to see how the legal process plays out and what happens with both of those guys.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't mean to put you on the spot like that. I know we don't know, but hey, if you're doing a mock draft today or something like that, you know, do you knock them down thinking that, I guess? But obviously plenty of time to figure it out. The Broncos are going to hire a GM, so that's probably a good thing. Some playoff stuff. Alvin Kamara, Jared Goff, and Seattle safety Jamal Adams. We don't know their situations yet. We don't know if they're going to be able to play. They're all going to be iffy for this weekend's games. Philadelphia I'm sure, Dave, you're probably more up on this certainly than I am, but you seem to know about the cap situations. But the Eagles could be $73 million over the salary cap. They are going to look dramatically different next year and hopefully better. But I don't know. I mean, they've got to cut a lot of dead weight. So, but they're in a tough spot right now.
And as of now, Carson Wentz is actually a negative hit on their cap. Usually when you cut a player, you get some cap savings. They would lose almost $25 million if they were to just cut Carson Wentz. Not going to happen. But there are some players that are on the roster.
After June 1st, right?
Yeah, everything changes. There's a June 1st thing. There's a right. designation. I don't know if you necessarily have to do it on the calendar on June 2nd or anything like that.
So you designate him as a post-June 1st cut.
You could do that, and then that changes it a little bit. But I believe if they trade him after June 1st or with that designation, that gives them the most relief of all. They've got a lot of guys that have a negative cap value. They're going to have a lot of work to do this.
I was surprised that they restructured Alshon Jeffrey's deal. It almost seemed like it was a foregone conclusion. He was gone.
No, apparently it was a massive haircut that he took.
I think he's gone anyway, from what I've been reading. Mm-hmm. They had to do this restructuring for Alshon Jeffrey, but he's probably going to get cut anyway. But yeah, they got a lot of salary cap manipulation to do. And Jason Kelce, their starting center, it seems like there's a good chance he retires. Decent chance anyway.
They would love it if he retired.
For financial purposes, yeah.
He also has a negative cap savings if they let him go.
Right.
Ertz, if they cut Ertz, they'll save $4 million, but he's a $7 million dead money hit on the cap. I mean, there's a ton of examples on it. They went for it. They went for another Super Bowl. And injuries ate him up this year and the year before that, and now they're going to pay the price.
Okay. And let's see what other news and notes we got. Other than the coaching stuff, we'll get to later in the show. But Matt Rhule did not commit to Teddy Bridgewater for 2021, Jamie. And ESPN notes that he had only one touchdown pass in the fourth quarter all season. Bridgewater was 0-8 in games that they had a chance to win or tie on the last possession, which is somewhat of an encouraging thing for the Panthers because, you know, that's just bad luck and you should be able to turn some of those into wins, but it does make you wonder who your quarterback of the future is. What do you make of that?
I think that's right. They shouldn't commit to Teddy Bridgewater. They should, again, we've said this many, many times, the no pun intended, but he should be the bridge quarterback. You know, they should have somebody that's a long-term answer. Teddy is a serviceable starter, but he's not a game-changing starter. And so, you know, if you're trying to get your franchise to the next level, that you don't have enough pieces around him for him to be that type of quarterback, they need somebody like that. And so I remember having conversations with, you know, people at the Combine last year and were the Panthers going to be one of the teams in the mix for Justin Herbert? And could they have made the move to go up one spot to get Justin Herbert? And they decided against that. And I'm sure they're probably looking at that and saying, maybe we should have been more aggressive to go get Justin Herbert. So, are they going to draft a guy this year? Or are they going to be aggressive and maybe looking at another quarterback in free agency? I doubt that. But certainly in the draft is a more likely scenario. And we'll see what happens there. But Bridgewater will probably be the starter in 2021. It's just a matter of how many games will he start if, in fact, they do invest in a rookie.
It's a $20 million dead money hit if they
He's not getting cut.
I agree. It may be a Tyrod Taylor situation.
It may be a starter in place for somebody else, but it's just a matter of how aggressive they are and what falls to them with their draft selection.
They've got the 8th pick in the draft, and I think you could see four. We got a mock draft on CBS that has four quarterbacks in the top 5. So I think you could certainly see four in the top 8. Trevor Lawrence, our latest mock draft. This is from Josh Edwards. I don't know if it's the latest. It's from Christmas Eve. Trevor Lawrence 1, Zach Wilson 2, Justin Fields 4, Trey Lance 5. And that was mocked to Carolina, but that was over a week ago. Oh, from Houston. That was a mock trade. Carolina trading up to get Trey Lance. So
not with Houston. Could be something like that.
Yeah. Okay. So those are your news and notes. We are going to give you our top 12 for 2021 and kind of take a look back at what we had this time of year, a year ago, when we did our top 12 for 2020. And one of us had Amari Cooper in the top 12. Find out the moron, the idiot moron who had Amari Cooper in his top 12. promotion today, though. Facebook. Get on the Facebook group. Search Fantasy Football Today on Facebook or click the link in the description, in our episode description. Very helpful, the episode description, if you're trying to just scan for content. You don't want to listen to the whole thing for some reason. Anyway, you can ask your keeper questions. You can join your Q&A. And now you can vote in the awards polls. We did the nominees yesterday. They're up on Facebook now, so go ahead and vote. Which one, what are the poll results looking like right now? What's the closest one, Ben?
Closest right now is the biggest one-week wonder, Tyler Lockett versus Joe Mixon. Ah. Two guys who everybody hated to have on their roster after their big games. It is very close. Over 2,000 votes in each poll, so get there, make your voice heard.
Okay. And of course, if you want to make those playoff picks and win some money perhaps, cbssports.com/playoff. Go there, $5,000 to the winner, or you can make a... This is actually what you should do. I'm going to do this today or tomorrow. Make a group, do like a bracket challenge like you do for March Madness. cbssports.com/playoff. Just get in there with some friends and pick some games. All right, last year's top 12. You know, you guys did pretty well, I got to tell you. I'm going to just make sure I get it here. Here's Jamie's. So this was a year ago, roughly. McCaffrey, Michael Thomas, Barkley, Zeke, Cook.
Sounds great so far.
But yeah,
all those studs.
No, I mean, I still think you did well. McCaffrey, Thomas, Barkley, Zeke, Cook, Kamara, Hopkins, Adams, Julio Jones, Nick Chubb, Derrick Henry, and Tyreek Hill. That was your top 12. Dave, you had McCaffrey, Barkley, Zeke, Cook, Michael Thomas, 5, Nick Chubb, 6, Kamara, 7. You and I both had Chubb over Kamara, and I don't know why we did that. We both had...
Well, remember, Kamara did not have a great... certainly not a consistent 2019.
Yeah.
I think the overall numbers were good except for touchdowns, and maybe there was a little bit of concern that that was going to be him moving forward.
This was PPR. I don't know. I don't know why we did that, but... All right, McCaffrey, Barkley, Zeke, Cook, Thomas, Chubb, Kamara,
Mixon. I think I was just crazy about Nick Chubb, to be honest with you.
Mixon, Jacobs, Henry, Hopkins, and Miles Sanders. Heath had McCaffrey, Cook, Thomas, Zeke, Barkley, Hopkins, Julio, Henry, Kamara, Chubb, Adams, Tyreek Hill.
None of us loved Henry.
No.
None of us had Henry Heath in the top five.
Heath had him eighth. That's the highest. I did not have him in the top 12. Good for me. And I was the guy who had Amari Cooper in the top 12. I had McCaffrey, Barkley, Zeke, Cook, Thomas, Chubb, Kamara, Hopkins, Julio, Miles Sanders, Tyreek Hill, Amari Cooper. And I just looked. First four games of the season, Amari Cooper was the number one wide receiver in fantasy. Of course, by the end of the process, I had no interest in Amari Cooper, and I had him as like a fourth round pick. But that doesn't matter right now.
Well, I mean, we also did this before CeeDee Lamb was on the team.
So. Yeah, totally. All right, so let's get to our 2021 top 12s. We'll go six at a time. Dave, you can go first.
Okay, my top 12. Guess who's first for me in my top 12?
Alvin Kamara. I mean, nope. I'm sorry, it's Christian McCaffrey. I don't know why I said
nope,
that.
Young Waku. Christian McCaffrey is number one. Dalvin Cook, I have second. Alvin Kamara, third. Saquon, fourth. Derrick Henry, fifth. Jonathan Taylor, sixth.
Okay, so six running backs?
Yeah, and I already don't love the order, to be honest with you. It's what I sent in last week, and I'm going to sit on it for a while and see just how much I'd want to change it around. But I know that I like McCaffrey at one. And the reason why I have Cook at two, I know people are going to be nervous to draft him because of the injuries, but hasn't he kind of earned some props over the last two seasons? Staying healthy for most of the year, being productive. I don't know.
I think
the Vikings defense will be better next year. So right. I'm not ready to run away from Dalvin Cook and certainly not use the injuries as an excuse to pass on him.
Okay, I'm sorry. You have McCaffrey, Cook, Kamara 3, Barkley 4?
Yeah, that let's go with that for today.
Okay, and then Henry.
But, I mean, I already feel like a change is coming at 3.
To what?
Jonathan Taylor.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, that's Dave's top 6. Jamie, your top 6?
It's not a lot different. The only one that's probably the biggest difference is Davante Adams is 4 for me. So same top 3. If Breeze comes back, Kamara will be 2 over Cook. But the concern of Taysom, or I guess the quarterback situation, if it's Taysom Hill, then Kamara will be three at three at the highest. But McCaffrey, Cook, Kamara, Devontae Adams, four, Henry, five, Barkley, six. And I may move Taylor ahead of Barkley myself.
Yep. Like, that's the easiest one, I think, for me to make that switch. Is that Saquon, back-to-back years where health's been an issue. We don't know what the Giants are really going to look like next year. The two games that he did play this year, how good was he? Not that great. Mm-mm. Taylor finished the year strong. I think we know what he's going to be in this offense moving forward. I think the offense could be better next year in Indianapolis. So there's people out there who, what happened? Brad Evans sent out a tweet saying, well, I hope I get Jonathan Taylor between 10 and 12 in round one. And I responded to him saying he won't be there. And there were, I don't know, I'd say like maybe 35 to 40% of the responses, like, are you crazy? Why would you take him before 10th overall in round one? And then there were people who either liked the tweet or said, yeah, I can't wait to get my hands on this guy. Like, he's everything you want in a fantasy running back. Save for, you know, not a candidate for 80 catches, but 50. I think he can get you 50. And I think he's going to score a ton of touchdowns.
The two things you got to look at is what's the quarterback situation for the Colts? Because Rivers is on a one-year deal. You know about the Wentz rumors. I don't think they're going to get worse than those two guys unless you just worry about Rivers being a year older and just, you know, falling off a cliff and the offense getting completely terrible. The other part of it is, what do they do from a backup perspective? Is it the same cast of characters, or do they bring back Marlon Mack and then there's a better backup guy there than Jordan Wilkins? Now, that's not going to take Jonathan Taylor out of the first round, but obviously when you're nitpicking between a talent like Barkley and what Barkley's shown you when healthy, Derrick Henry, obviously there's a lot of receiving options that you put in that group as well. You know, Dave and I are probably a little bit toward the other side of that, but when you start to factor in Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill, and, you know, if you want to start to put Stephon Diggs and DK Metcalf and those type of receivers, which are going to be first round caliber players in PPR, you know, that's where I think Taylor may, you know, lose a little bit. Travis Kelce as well. So just a matter of what your preference is and what the Colts look like. You know, hopefully their offensive line is a little bit better too. Remember, they, a lot of what Taylor's done down the stretch has been without Costanzo, who's a big part of what they do as a unit up there.
All right. So to recap, Dave and Jamie go McCaffrey, Cook, Kamara, and Kamara's ranking is pending, you know, who comes back, who's there at quarterback.
He's not going to be worse than three for me, but he could be two.
He could be four for me.
Well, he was not really catching passes much at all with Taysom Hill, except for that last game.
Yeah,
the last game.
That last game he did. So, yeah, I mean, I do wonder how much of a concern that is. He was significantly more involved in the passing game with, and it makes sense, with Breeze than with Hill. Hill runs so much.
I mean, that's part of it.
And Kamara is not a workhorse running back here. He's a 205-ish carry guy.
And now the quarterback is a threat to rush for touchdowns.
Yeah, but okay, so if Taysom Hill is the starting quarterback, how many catches is Alvin Kamara getting?
I'd be shocked if he's under 70.
I think he could be under 70.
If he's under 70 and he's at, you know, his normal running back workload, his carry workload, you know, that's like a 280-touch guy. That, not even, that's like a, you know, 265, 270 touch guy. I don't know if he's top five pick, if that's the case.
I don't crazy? Like that he could lose touchdowns to Hill inside the 3 yard line.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess you don't feel that way, but
I don't know how I feel about it.
Well, I mean, it, you know, say losing touchdowns, he scored 3 touchdowns in the 4 games that Taysom Hill started. So I don't know if that's necessarily a concern.
How many touchdowns did Hill have in those games?
Rushing?
Yeah.
At least 4.
Okay. Four. So those are 4 touchdowns that did not go to.
Right. But I mean, you're Alvin also saying Kamara. Like, you know, he didn't throw 2 touchdowns. He didn't throw touchdowns in 2 of those games where Breeze would throw touchdowns in those games. So, I mean, you know, just taking touchdowns and moving them around.
Possibly to Kamara, though.
Exactly. Yeah,
like, I think it's the catches, though, that concern me, because he's so, I mean, he can get you like, what was he at, 9 yards per catch? Every time he catches the ball, it could be a first down, another fantasy point for the catch and the yards almost. So it's a lot of production there. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting case. I hope we don't have to make that decision because he's so damn good with Drew Brees. All right. McCaffrey, Cook, Kamara, Barkley 4 for Dave, Adams 4 for Jamie, Derrick Henry 5 for both of you. Jamie's got Barkley 6. Dave has Jonathan Taylor 6. All right, let's get 7 through 12. Dave, go ahead.
That this is where receivers come into play for me, and I don't want to be held to any of this long term. This is just how I ranked it a week ago. Adams is going to be 7, Tyreek Hill 8, Zeke is 9, Travis Kelce 10. I put James Robinson at 11, and I don't feel so good about that one. And I've got Nick Chubb at 12.
Okay, so Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, Zeke, Kelce, James Robinson, Nick Chubb. Interesting back end of the round for sure. Jamie, after McCaffrey, Cook, Kamara, Adams, Henry, Barkley, you got 7 through 12.
Taylor, Kelce, Austin Eckler, Ezekiel Elliott, Tyreek Hill, and Nick Chubb.
Okay. So Nick Chubb, top 12 for you guys. And how many catches did Nick Chubb have this year? You feel good about that?
Yeah, I mean, as long as Stefanski's there, this offensive line's amazing. And
16 catches in 12 games.
I think the three running backs that you're going to look at and say they make me a little nervous in PPR are Derrick Henry, but you've seen now what he's been 2 years. It's hard to say he's going to, you know, be, barring injury, be dramatically worse unless there's complete fall off. Nick Chubb and J.K. Dobbins, you know, and I think all three of those guys are very similar profiles. The only difference between Dobbins is that he doesn't get the same type of work that those other two guys get. So if and that's why he's not in the same caliber or category. I mean, Nick Chubb scored 7 touchdowns in his last 6 games. He's, you know, the catalyst of what this offense is. He's an amazing talent, and the play caller is pretty consistent with how he likes to run the ball. So, you know, you saw what he was to start the season. You certainly saw what he was to close the season. And I don't think Kareem Hunt is somebody you should fear in terms of drafting and banking on Nick Chubb playing at this level.
Chubb averaged 15.1 PPR points per game in 2019. Was he better or worse than that in 2020? What do you think?
He was worse.
James?
You know why, Dave? Because of that stupid game where he got hurt against Dallas. Are you taking that out?
No, everything counts. Per game basis.
I'll say worse.
Point and a half better. 16.6.
He's so good, man. So you guys have Zeke ahead of him, both of you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You've seen what Zeke was when Dak was healthy, and I think you got to bank on that.
The thing is, you know, that run, that touchdown run that Chubb had in week 17, what was it, 48 yards, something like that? Zeke can't do that. He hasn't done that in a long time. I don't know if he's had a run that long in his last 2 years. And I don't know if it matters because he catches so many passes when he's, you know, compared to Chubb. So I get it. But that's what people are going to be concerned about with Zeke. I think they're going to feel like we've got a player that's on the decline here.
Well, that's why he's gone from a top 3 pick to a back end of the first round pick. You know, you're still talking about a guy that's going to get a very hefty workload. The hope would be, you know, you get Tyron Smith back, you get Zach Martin back, you get Dak Prescott back, you get, you know, an offseason to rest. You know, I think it's important for him. Now, is he somebody in Dynasty that I want to invest in? No. He's somebody you want to flip and see if you can get great value in return for. But at least for me, you know, when it comes down to Zeke and Chubb, the two running backs that I have at the end of the first round, it's, you know, how do those guys compare to the next group of guys? You know, the other sophomore running backs that have the chance to be special in terms of Dobbins and not necessarily sophomore guys, but Dobbins and Jacobs and Mixon, you know, hopefully bouncing back, especially if they draft Sewell and get, you know, an upgrade on the offensive line, and DeAndre Swift and Antonio Gibson, all those guys that have a chance to be really special. Does he compare that much more favorably than Robinson as well? You know, so it's just a matter of how much you're still counting on Zeke. And you're right, Adam, people are going to be concerned. Understandably so.
Ezekiel Elliott had 3 carries this year of 20 or more yards. Nick Chubb had 12. He had 12 in 190 attempts. Zeke had 244. I mean, this is less about Zeke and more about Nick Chubb. His explosiveness is remarkable. That is just like a shocking number. 12.
But the catches count.
Oh, no, yeah.
It's not just that.
I get it. I'm just saying Nick Chubb is amazing at football. It's basically what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. And that's part of the allure. That's why people are going to maybe reach a little bit. Maybe we're reaching a little bit by putting him in the back end of round one because he's such an awesome running back. He's fun to watch. We know he's going to get a lot of work. And he's got a nice track record of good production in PPR. that can make you feel okay taking him with that late first round pick. So what did I say? He had 16.6 PPR points per game this year. Chubb did. Do you know what Zeke had both this year and in his first five games with Dak Prescott? You guys probably want to take any stabs?
Close to 20.
He was at 21.8 with Dak, and on the year, 14.1. So obviously he fell off a cliff, and it's not just Dak, the offensive line too.
I think there was enough evidence.
What's up, Jim?
It's only two games with Dalton that they threw him the ball. That's the big part of it.
That's definitely part of it. But I did think that he left enough for us to see in week 16 and 17 to know that he's not like a total shell of his former self and that there is a chance of him bouncing back. I don't think he's quite at the age where we can just rule out him ever being what he once was, but he needs that opportunity. And now Tony Pollard could be a big part of that mix next year. And we'll see what the offensive line looks like. But for now, I'm comfortable taking him with a late first-round pick.
Ezekiel Elliott had almost no chance in Week 17. His offensive line was completely overwhelmed, and he actually did very well with the opportunities he was given. I mean, like one of those, oh, he should have lost 1 yard. He turned it into a two-yard gain. He did that a lot in Week 17. He did look probably...
And 17 total touches in that game, too.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember what the stats were,
that's
but I'd say
you
he
need to have
looked better.
It was 14 for 42 and a touchdown, three catches for 19 yards on four targets.
He looked better than
his
the
last
numbers.
Two games with Dalton, he had four targets in each of those games, seven catches. So if that's the floor in terms of what the reception totals could be, because we saw what the ceiling was with Dak. I mean, those first five games, he was in three of them. I'll throw out week five when Dak got hurt against the Giants. But the first four games, three of those, he had six catches each of those games.
Yeah. All right, so let me just recap the top 12s here. Jamie, who'd you have at 11th in between Zeke and Chubb?
Tyreek.
Tyreek Hill. Okay. The differences for you guys, Dave has James Robinson 11th. Jamie does not have him in the top 12. Jamie has Austin Eckler 9th. Dave does not have him in the top 12. Let's start.
He's 13.
Okay. So let's start with that. Eckler 9th for Jamie, 13th for Dave. Then we'll talk about James Robinson, and then we'll talk about Travis Kelce and where he should be ranked. Jamie Eckler, you know, basically, if you just, he played eight games that he didn't leave with an injury. And if you take those eight games and you double them, it's 1,736 total yards, 94 catches, but only four touchdowns. But your thoughts on Eckler? I mean, Chris isn't on the show today, but he's mega high on Eckler. I think he has him in the top five in PPR.
Yeah, I mean, once I got past Devonta Adams, I thought about maybe Kelce at five. I thought about Taylor at five. I thought about, you know, Henry there still, Barkley, and Eckler. You know, and I think you just look at what his upside is, with hopefully a improved play caller. You know, we'll see what they do to replace Anthony Lynn in terms of an offensive staff. But, you know, I mean, he was amazing in 2019. He was great when he was on the field in 2020. And Herbert has the chance to be an absolute monster. And so, you know, I just love this way, the way this offense is going to come into play. So I think, you know, Chris is certainly onto something there. If he stays healthy, he could be easy a 2,000 total yard guy. And, you know, obviously he's got, you know, 80 catch potential, as we saw in 2019.
Dave, not quite in your top 12, 13th for Eckler. And 18. James Robinson, you want to lump him in with James Robinson. You have him ahead of Eckler.
I'm not ready to lump him in with James Robinson yet. I almost think Robinson is a separate story, and I don't even know how comfortable I am having him there. I'm really not. But Eckler, 18.3 PPR points per game in 2019. Fell to around 15 PPR points per game in 2020, one rushing touchdown on the year. And I'm nervous about him being able to be back in a workhorse role where he's getting, I think he can get six plus catches a week, and that's what'll save him in PPR. But are the carries going to be there for him? Is Joshua Kelly going to get better in his second season? What's is this now a Justin Herbert joint in LA? I think it is, which means there won't be a lot of games where they're going to feed Austin Eckler a ton of carries. I'm a little skeptical that he can be first round good. I think he can be second round good in a PPR league, and in a non PPR league, he might be like middle to late second round good. So I'm not ready to take Eckler as early as first round.
I hope they don't pull him at the goal line. He had two carries inside the 5-yard line all season long. That was 10% of the Chargers' carries from inside the five. Also, the Chargers ran the most plays in the NFL. So keep that in mind when they make their coaching change. What kind of offense will they have next year? James Robinson. Dave, you saw fit to see him, to put him in the top 12. However, you do not seem super confident in it.
When we draft today, I don't know what pick I have in a mock draft that we're doing today. But if I've got a late first round pick and Robinson's there, I would consider him. But I think I would almost rather hope that he falls to me in round two. And the reason why I put him where I had him for now was just because I don't know if I really loved anybody else to put ahead of him. Can he be as good in his second season? There are a ton of questions, but I just got done telling you about how I think that Justin Herbert's going to be the identity of the Chargers offense moving forward. You don't think that whoever the Jaguars take in the first round of their draft is going to be the identity of their offense? If it's Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields, that guy is absolutely going to have the offense revolve around him. What I did like about Robinson was that he proved that he could handle a big workload. He was way better than expected in every single way, but certainly as a pass catcher. And I think he can still be a reliable starter in fantasy. I just don't know if he can be quite as good, and certainly first round good, as he was in 2020.
If you're worried about his role and them, you know, giving the offensive reins to the quarterback that they drafted, Trevor Lawrence, basically, they were last in the NFL in rush attempts. So, you know, the situation can't get that much worse than it for him unless they stop throwing to him, because he had 49 catches in 14 games, which was huge for his production. But again, last in the NFL in rush attempts, he must have had like 95% of their carries when he was
healthy. It was something like that. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's a look at our top 12. Last thing. Sorry, I've got Travis Kelce. I actually had him sixth, but then I thought that's probably too high because, you know, he had such an amazing year. It's unlikely to happen again.
Well, I mean, it's the last 3 years he's been this good.
He wasn't this good 2 years ago. He was close, but he was 2.3 points better in PPR per game. That's a big deal. 2.3 points better this year than he was in 2018. So let me tell you this. This year, Travis Kelce would have been the number three wide receiver in fantasy. In That's PPR, awesome. in either format. 2 years ago, he was the number eight wide receiver in both non-PPR and PPR. This year, he was in full PPR, the number six running back. 2 years ago, he was the number nine running back. So, yeah, he was incredible 2 out of 3 years, but I think six is too high for him. That's where I had him, and that's you guys did not have him that high. You had him closer to ninth or so. That makes more sense. Dave had him 10th. Jamie had him, what, 8th?
Yeah.
8th. Okay, so we'll split the difference, call him 9th.
And like the other I said, thing, I wouldn't have a problem with him going as high as 5.
The other thing, do you guys realize kind of the rate stats of Devontae Adams and what happened this year? Because his yards per catch had never been great, but his catch rate skyrocketed this year. And obviously his touchdown rate is ridiculous. But we haven't had, when was the last time we had a repeat number one wide receiver? Probably Antonio Brown. And every year we have a new discussion about who the best wide receiver in football is. Are we going to make a mistake? Are we going to overdraft Devontae Adams?
I don't think so, because, you know, you saw what he was basically from the Philadelphia game on last year, the game where he hurt his toe. You know, so just looking at what he was in this offense. And Adam, I blame myself, but I hate you for talking me out of what I asked you in the preseason.
About. I talked you out of it?
You did.
You talked about putting Adams ahead of Michael
Yeah,
Thomas.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, I've loved Adam since he came to the NFL. He's
you love just, that me?
Huh?
You love me since he came
to
the NFL?
I love you since you came to the NFL as well.
Okay.
But I think you look at what he is in this offense, unless they completely overhaul their second and third receiver. You know, if they bring back the same group, he's going to get fed targets. I mean, he's going to get fed targets anyway, but just to what level, but, he's amazing. And Aaron Rodgers has proven over the course of his career, you know, from Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb and Adams, when he has a guy, he leans on a guy, and this is clearly his guy.
And it's been his guy since 2016. I mean, you look at the touchdowns that he's had. 2016, he had 12.
It's double digits.
2017, 10.
Double digits in four of the last five.
Yeah, and then the one year he didn't have it, he only played 12 games. He had five touchdowns in those 12 games. I think he's probably the safest pick you could make in round one.
Yeah, well, he's been on
no
pace.
Probably about it. He is the safest pick you can make in round one.
McCaffrey.
Really?
Yes.
How did that work out last year?
How did Adams work out 2 years ago?
I get it, but even when Adams played two seasons ago, he was
2019
when he played, he was okay.
His touchdowns were surprisingly down,
but he was okay. Still had almost 1,000 yards in 12 games.
Yeah, McCaffrey was per game number one with a bullet this year.
But if you're scared about him getting hurt again,
y'all play scared.
Who's more likely to get hurt again?
You have him as the number one pick, so you shouldn't be scared.
Of course.
Everybody's got him number one.
He's got the most upside. I don't think that Davante Adams can do what Christian McCaffrey can do.
Well,
I'm
to
not
your
sure
point,
if there's anybody
Dave,
in the league that can do what Christian McCaffrey could potentially do.
Davante Adams has missed some time over the last few years, through seasons, but per 16 games, he's been on pace for 169 or more targets every single year. So that's pretty good.
He accomplished something this year that only two other receivers have done, in Randy Moss and Chris Carter. Lee was 100 catches, whatever yards he had, and touchdowns.
18 touchdowns. Okay. All right, so that we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we'll talk about the coaching changes and we'll try to read your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
So if you listen to Fantasy Football Today in 5, I asked Jamie, you got all these head coaching openings, all these head coaching vacancies. You're a hot young head coach. Everybody wants to hire you. Where are you going? You can choose your own destination. Dave, I'll let you answer first today. Jamie was between the Chargers and the Jaguars. Where would you go?
Jaguars have two first round picks, right? Including the number one overall pick. And I think they've got a ton of cap space. And I think they've got a lot of good young talent on defense. I think I'd rather go to Jacksonville than LA. Plus the ownership is better. I think the ownership is better in Jacksonville than LA. Hearing Shad Khan say that he's got control of the roster was a little stunning.
Okay.
So Pete and I have talked about this. Pete Prisco and I have talked about this a lot over the last several weeks. If you right now, this was pretty much, you know, after Jacksonville locked up the number one seed. Who would you rather have right now, Justin Herbert or Trevor Lawrence?
Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
But we both said we'd take Justin Herbert.
It's a little silly, I think. Point
of, you've seen him go through an NFL season and you see what he can be. And so while Trevor Lawrence may be better, he could also be a flop. And so at least you see what Herbert has become. The reason I like the Chargers job better is there's a better chance to win right away. I think you look at if those guys stay healthy, they're going to be very competitive. You get Derwin James, Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram, those guys on the defensive side. That's a win now defense, especially if Chris Harris and Casey Hayward still play at the level that they have the ability to. And then you have the quarterback that's already gone through it once already with those weapons around him. So long-term, Jacksonville might be better. Like I said, it's 1-1A for me. But I think, you know, given the chance that I could win right now, I would take the Chargers job first.
This is a great question. I'm Twitter polling it. If you are running an NFL franchise, who would you rather have at quarterback? Trevor Lawrence, Justin Herbert. That's a great question.
I'm not sure Justin Fields doesn't belong in this poll.
Oh my gosh. The roller coaster. Roller coaster with him.
Yeah, Justin Fields does not belong in this poll.
Okay.
I don't know about that. Well, I think you're right. But what he did against Clemson was remarkable.
That Clemson defense is not the same type of defense that it has been.
It's not a bad defense. Now, they were
missing. It's not a bad defense, but it's not a great defense.
A lot of players. They're missing a starting safety.
And he was still a one-read quarterback. He looked at one guy and he threw to him.
I think a lot of quarterbacks are like that in college.
Fair.
He's obviously a great. I didn't think much of him, but.
There are still people that like Wilson ahead of Fields, you know, so it's not a guarantee that Fields is the second quarterback draft.
So far, Justin Herbert has 78% of the vote. We shall see what happens there. All right, now let's talk about all these vacancies here. Some NFL players who have a lot at stake with a new head coach, new regime. Who are you focusing on? We got the Jets, we got the Chargers, the Jaguars, the Falcons, the Texans, the Lions, and Minnesota. Gary Kubiak is retiring, their offensive coordinator. They had a really, really good offense. And I would love to get a breakdown of their plays first, like how many plays they ran first eight games compared to last eight games. Because listen to this. For Minnesota, Kirk Cousins, in his first eight games, he threw 26 passes per game. In his last eight games, he threw more than 38 passes per game. And Dalvin Cook's carries went up in that stretch. So did they just run like a ton more plays? I don't know. Did they give up more points? Not really. They gave up almost the same amount of points per game. So Minnesota.
Madison was hurt in that stretch too, which I think is why Cook's.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't have a chance to really go through carries per game, but that could be part. Yeah. That's probably is a big part of it as well.
They weren't taking Cook off the field to whatever small percentage they were prior to when Madison was healthy.
But obviously, Madison didn't miss all of those eight games. So, yeah, it's worth looking into. But Cousins' pass attempt skyrocketed, and he was really good down the stretch. Anyway, Dave, who are some players right now that you have there's a lot at stake with whomever they hire?
There are some on every single team that has a coaching vacancy. And in Minnesota, I want them to hire somebody who's aggressive and will want to put the ball in the air a lot so that Justin Jefferson can repeat what he did as a rookie. But Mike Zimmer's going to have his way. I mean, we've already seen him now. He's gone through three offensive coordinators over the last couple of years. And each one, like, Zimmer wants it done his way more often than not. Now, maybe Zimmer realized at the midway point of this season, we've got this special talent in Justin Jefferson, and we've got to just we got to let him go. Or he realized we need to score points because my defense isn't very good. I would imagine that Zimmer's going to be able to restock that defense. It makes me a little bit nervous about the offense being as aggressive with the pass. And if they have a conservative play caller in Minnesota, that'll further limit the target opportunities for all the pass catchers in Minnesota. And we're going to talk about all of them a lot. It's Thielen on top of Jefferson. It's Irv Smith. I don't think Kyle Rudolph is going to be back there. And it might not be quite a slam dunk as it was to finish 2020. We can go team by team after that, after Minnesota, if you want to.
No, it's all right. I mean, we can. I don't, might not be the most exciting conversation. By the way, Dave, this mock draft I'm looking at on CBS, pick 14, mm-hmm. Minnesota. I don't know if they still have the 14th pick because this was done a week ago. Gregory.
Well, I don't think they've made any trades in the last week.
No, but they might have changed their draft position.
Oh, sure. That's right.
Oh, no, they do have the 14th pick. Gregory Russo. Edge rusher, Miami Hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
They're almost certainly going to go defense, you'd think.
They need pass rush team, help so badly.
This team, Todd Furman, who does a great job for us on CBS Sports HQ, one of the best handicappers in the business, he said this is the team he's putting his money onto in the NFC North because the odds will be great. Obviously, the Packers are going to be a favorite, but he said this is his team that he is putting his backing behind, and I'm totally on board with it. I don't know if they beat the Packers. Obviously, injuries can play in if Aaron Rodgers gets hurt, but the offense looks to be in great shape. The defense is not just what they're going to do in the draft. They get Neil Hunter back, the secondary. If you remember, Adam, before they traded Ngakoue, I said this was the defense I thought was going to be the one going into the playoffs that would be better because we thought Hunter was coming back and Ngakoue was still there. I don't know if you remember, we had that conversation early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Hunter, was placed on IR for the year and they traded Ngakoue. I think there's a lot to like about what this defense can become with Zimmer controlling it and the offense looks to be really good. It's like, we just posted our top 12 quarterbacks for 2021 and nobody's going to draft Kirk Cousins as a number one quarterback. I get that, but I don't see much difference between him and Ryan Tannehill, to be honest. Tannehill obviously will run a little bit more. The weapons around Kirk Cousins, especially you're seeing what Irv Smith can become, and he's going to be a bigger part of the offense at that position. The play caller, I think, is going to be really important for Minnesota because they have the running game, they have the receivers, they have, I think, what could be a good tight end. And if Cousins can avoid the mistakes, which he did for the most part this year, really for the last 2 years, he could be a sneaky number one fantasy quarterback that you just wait for and you'll be thrilled about.
Okay, what about DJ Chark? It's hard to get a grip on this guy. He's had a bad situation, obviously. But boy, he has a lot of just invisible games, you know, and last year too, just very up and down, inconsistent. Trevor Lawrence is there, Jamie, you got to figure. Is DJ Chark a top 60 pick, first five rounds of a 12-team league?
No, but you're going to love getting him just after that.
What kind of coach do you want to see for them? Like, do you have an inkling of who it might be? Got all the candidates.
You're seeing they're going to talk to all the same guys. I don't love Urban Meyer going there because I just don't think he's going to be fully vested in turning that program around. I think he's more of a, if he's going to the NFL, I think he's going to win now situation, you know, even though you're getting Trevor Lawrence. But I do think that you're hoping to see a guy, you know, Bieniemy obviously is going to be one that's the hot name. I like the idea of a team bringing in Robert Saleh because I do think that bringing in LaFleur's younger brother as the offensive coordinator, who was on the offensive staff in the 49ers. I think that could be fun, you know, just seeing what LaFleur has done with his influence in San Francisco and then obviously what his brother's done in Green Bay. So I'm curious to see how that'll work out. But I think it's going to be somebody that's got to be, you know, not just the head coach, but obviously the play caller. It's got to be creative. But, you know, I'll always lean on Pete for the Jaguars because he's so tied into that organization. And he thinks they need to get a speed guy. At receiver, you know, and so he said he likes their three top guys right now of Chark, LaVisca, and Colin Johnson, but he doesn't think any of those guys run well. Like Chark profiles as a number one receiver, but I don't know if he's a dominant number one receiver. You know, he's a guy that's not going to necessarily beat you with his speed per se, but he's going to win 50-50 balls. He's fast enough to get by the defender, but he's not necessarily like he thinks they should draft Tony from Florida or this kid out of Purdue. You know, that's the one Pete keeps saying. Like, those are the two guys that he thinks fit Jacksonville the most.
I look at the Texans as a team that just, like, needs to unleash Deshaun Watson. And they kind of did. They were 31st in the NFL in rush attempts, but they were dead last in plays. The Texans ran the fewest plays and you know, I don't know. I don't think they did Deshaun Watson a ton of favors. They played kind of a very conservative offense under Bill O'Brien. So, yeah, Dave, what would you like to see in Houston?
Better defense for starters, so that way they don't try and use their offense to mask their defense. That might be part of the reason why they had a slow pace, was so they didn't have to put their defense out on the field.
But it was every year, you know, and it wasn't always a bad defense.
That's true. That's true. But the last 2 years, especially, it wasn't great. And then once O'Brien got fired, I don't know what the pace was. Maybe it wasn't that much different.
They let Watson throw early. That was a big part of it.
Yeah, that's huge. And like I just want him to still be he's going to be the centerpiece of the offense. They need to just find a play caller that's going to say, okay, Deshaun, what do you want to do? That sounds great. Let's do that with a little bit of this and that and this and that and just build everything around Deshaun Watson. It makes perfect sense. They're going to do exactly that. I hope they keep Will Fuller because the chemistry that's built in between those two when they're on the field together, it's pretty special. So that's going to be another decision that the franchise is going to have to make. And it won't be an easy one. I don't know what their cap situation is like, but assuming that they don't have a ton of cap space, they need to rebuild that defense. And giving a lot of money to Will Fuller, it hurts him a little bit.
I think everything you're seeing from being reported from Houston is he's going back there just because of the suspension and what he was able to accomplish. I haven't seen anybody say that he's leaving, but obviously that could change if somebody throws a lot of money at him.
And okay. I don't know if anybody's going to do that.
Is there any salvaging?
They're terrible in cap space, actually.
The players on the Jets. Any salvaging the players on the Jets? I mean,
oh, of course. I mean, so? This offensive line is something that you could build around. They have some nice receivers there. Obviously, what you get from Crowder as a slot option, if Mims can take that next step, you know, we'll see what they do with Perryman. They're a receiver away from being a good receiving core. You have the intangible that there's no more Adam Gase, so all those guys just magically get better because we've seen that with everybody that leaves the Jets.
Yes.
There's actually a report now, Adam. Frank Gore, according to Adam Schefter, wants to play another season. I don't know where that is because now Gase is out of the NFL. Maybe he goes to play at Alabama if Gase follows the report that he's going to be the offensive coordinator there. I don't know if he still has eligibility. But I think you look at what the foundation is there, and it depends on what they do. Do they make the decision to stick with Sam Darnold and go a different direction, or do they go get a new quarterback? I'm sure a lot of Jets fans like to see a fresh start, new quarterback, but Darnold still, I think, has the potential to be good enough that this offense can have a lot of production out of it if they get the right coach in place.
Any other coaching thoughts, or you want to read some emails?
I mean, I'll go back to what I said on the other show, that I think the two, in my opinion, two big impact hires are going to be in Atlanta and Detroit because there's still great offenses there. You know, so I'd like to see somebody come in that can get more out of the offense in Atlanta. Not that it's been bad for fantasy, but you know, if you could still salvage another season or two out of Matt Ryan and hopefully Julio Jones, but obviously keep Calvin Ridley afloat and maybe find a running game there that could be successful because that offense could be great. And the same thing in Detroit. You know, we're 2 years removed from Matthew Stafford being a top five fantasy quarterback on a point per game basis before he had the back injury. And he showed flashes this year when he was healthy. You get Kenny Galladay back, hopefully, see what they do to replace Marvin Jones if he leaves. You have TJ Hockenson and DeAndre Swift. There's a lot of great fantasy options on those two teams. So if there's good play calling in place there, that's going to be really fun for fantasy managers, especially those two quarterbacks, because nobody's going to draft them as starters. But these are the type of guys that help you win leagues, that I don't draft them. I wait for them. I take them as late round picks. And then all of a sudden you may have the Matthew Stafford from 2 years ago, or the Matt Ryan from his MVP season, or even, you know, what he showed you flashes this season, or certainly what Aaron Rodgers showed you, you know, when we all wrote him off for being a 37-year-old quarterback that couldn't play anymore, and he was an MVP.
Matt Ryan finished as QB12 this year, and there were some ups and downs. He was obviously a lot better with Julio Jones, but the thing is, you always knew they were going to throw the ball, right? I mean, with Dirk Cutter, they were fourth in pass attempts this year. So hopefully they hire someone who will commit to that.
Well, let's see if Dave can get the trivia question I asked you yesterday. Can you name the top six quarterbacks, Dave, in yards per game? Taking out Dak Prescott because he did not qualify.
Okay. Ryan should be up there.
That's obviously what we're talking about. Yep.
Mahomes should be up there.
Yep.
Justin Herbert?
Yep.
Derek Carr?
Nope.
Brady?
Yep.
Rodgers? No, nope. Not Rodgers. How many do I have left? Two?
You have Brady, Herbert, Ryan, and you said Mahomes, right?
Yeah.
I said Mahomes.
So you have four. Four of the six.
Darnold. No Sam Darnold. Josh Allen?
Looking down.
Oh, Deshaun teams. Watson. I'm looking at a list of teams. Watson's got to be up there.
Watson, yeah.
And then Josh Allen?
Yep. Amazing that you look down and all of a sudden you got those two.
No, I swear to God, it's a list of players. It's not that stat.
Yeah, if you're watching on YouTube, you saw that whole thing go down.
Yeah. I swear to God, I did not cheat.
I believe you, but it's just funny. Like, all of a sudden you look down.
I totally understand. Right away.
Who led the NFL in passing? Most yards.
I know the answer, so I won't answer it.
Watson.
Yeah, good. Good job.
Did you see my eyes? I was looking at that monitor up there.
What happened? Wait, did that not work? I tried to hit the... Where's the sound? I tried to give you the wrong buzzer, but you were right. I was just assuming you were going to get it wrong. I hit the wrong buzzer, but I had the levels down.
The seventh guy. Can you guess the seventh guy in terms of passing yards per game?
Was a car?
No, but it's going to be one of my favorite breakout candidates next year.
It was Goff. Was it Goff?
No.
Burrow. That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know that answer. That's why we talked about it.
He's going to be an awesome
I cheated.
Mid-round pick.
Okay, guys. Let's read some emails. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com.
Can I look down to read the emails? Is that okay, guys?
From Kevin from Dave's favorite ski town.
I don't have a favorite ski town.
Breckenridge.
Fine.
Dear Trey.
Snowmass, Colorado. I've been there.
Trey, John, Mike, and Paige. I don't know. Sounds like fish. 10-team standard league. I'll probably get 7th, 8th, or 9th pick. Would love your opinion on my keepers here. I don't know how many he needs to keep. McCaffrey in round 1. Adams in round 2. Jacobs in round 3, Akers in round 6, James Robinson in round 7, and Josh Allen in round 12. 10-team standard scoring.
And we don't know how many he's keeping.
Give me your favorite two. McCaffrey round 1, Adams 2, Jacobs in the 3rd, Akers in the 6th, James Robinson in the 7th, Josh Allen in the 12th.
Adams in 2.
I'd bounce around the room and say, I'll take McCaffrey and Allen.
Yeah, I would go, I would rank them Adams in round 2, Allen, what round was it?
12.
Allen around 12.
Jamie,
Robinson around 7.
Jamie, it's standard scoring, just so you know. Does that change anything with McCaffrey?
No.
All right, because he's got the 7th pick. Like, I'm taking McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Yeah, that changes things. I go Adams 1, McCaffrey 2.
Okay. From Seamus in a city 1 hour south of the Twin Cities.
That's like going to be right on the border with Iowa, right?
Sure.
Okay, I don't know.
How did AJ Dillon not get at least one mention as a 1 week wonder?
It's a great call.
Yeah, it is.
Sorry, it's too late to put him in the poll.
He didn't help people though. He was a great 1 week wonder. Who started AJ Dillon in week 16? Answer: nobody.
And then you could even put him on
Mama Dillon.
You could put him on the worst waiver wire pickup list. From Carl. Subjects.
Carl.
That's Eric. Anyway. From Carl.
Good to see you.
That's right. I can't believe people still do snake drafts. If you've been in a league for 3 or more years and you're over 16, you should be doing an auction.
Salary cap.
Oh, salary cap. That's right. Okay, yeah.
I agree. I love salary cap drafts.
Yeah, I mean, they're great, but I like snake drafts quite a bit too. And, you know, they're not bad.
I want to be 15 again.
Oh, that'd be fun. Okay.
I want to be 21 again.
From Tyler Witt. Dear Tony, Hobbs, Tigger, and Shere Khan. I don't know. I was right about fish, by the way. Are they all tigers? Okay. I was just singing the Tigger song this morning, actually. How about that? The wonderful thing about Tigger. No, I'm not going to do it. The bouncy. Okay, a few names unmentioned from the awards list. I nominate them as unsung heroes. I don't remember that being an award, but okay. Robert Tonyan, Logan Thomas, J.D. McKissick, Youngway Koo, Jason Sanders, Rodrigo Blankenship, Q Heath Sai. They deserve some cred in one category or another. They definitely helped our fantasy sisters and brothers. Have a great 2021. And to the tune of Snoop Dogg, mock draft every day. Yeah, all right. We probably will be doing that. Tonyan, Logan Thomas, McKissick. Yes, I think those are pretty good waiver wire pickups.
Yeah, Tonyan, how do we forget him? Top 5 tight end.
Because he just wasn't really that good. Like,
what?
It was such a bad year. You know what I want to see? Okay, he scored 124 in non-PPR. Let's finish with this. Robert Tonyan scored in non-PPR 124.6 points. That made him tight end 3. Last year, that would have made him tight end 6. It's probably even worse in full PPR, right? He scored 176 points. That made him tight end 3. Last year, he would have been... Oh, no, I hit the wrong button. Last year, he would have been tight end 7. So, you know, he wasn't a legit top 3 tight end. I'm calling him out. We're out of here. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you on Thursday. We got 6 games to preview this week to help you out with playoff challenges, with DFS, with whatever it is. 6 NFL playoff games on Wild Card Weekend. Cannot wait. For Dave and Jamie and Ben, I'm Adam. We'll talk to you Thursday.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.